Welcome, Cheesehead Nation, to the Railbird Central Morning Talk Show right here on Cheesehead TV. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm your host, Brian Kirivu, host, producer, director, wearing a lot of hats, as I normally do, so bear with me if we come across any technical problems. Again, I hope I have everything fixed, including our hotline, so we should be good to go this morning, I hope. So thank you for joining me. I'm kind of excited today. We have our first kind of guest out of the Cheesehead TV family, we'll say. Joining us in a half hour at 10 o'clock a.m. will be J.J. Housley, former University of Kentucky kicker, former teammate of Tim Masthay at Kentucky, and actually his former roommate as well. So we should get the dish on the new Packers punter this year from J.J. Housley. So, excited about that in about a half hour. For right now, we're going to be following along with today's Packers Daily Links. If you're following along with the show, I provided a link at the top of the blog. You just might have to scroll up a little bit. And please be reminded that our chat today is moderated entirely by Twitter. Nobody's approving comments. So please don't even send them. Nobody's going to be looking at them. But if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, all those tweets will automatically show up on the blog. So please feel free to share your thoughts with me and with Cheesehead Nation. So I'm excited to jump into things here today. If you check out the Packers Daily Links, today we are talking about Brian Bulaga and Chad Clifton. That's pretty much all anybody can talk about since the game ended on Sunday with the Packers' 34-7 victory in the regular season home opener over the Buffalo Bills. So, getting right down to it. If you check out the Daily Links, it'll bring you to a screen that looks like this. And scroll down and, you know, a good overview of the story is brought to us by Jason Wilde of ESPN Milwaukee. And if you click this link right here, it's going to bring you to Jason's story. Takes a little bit. Takes you to a page that looks like this. And if I just, for a second, can read what Mr. Wilde said, when it comes to deciding just when Clifton will be healthy and whether he'll be considered healthy enough to start Monday night showdown with the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, that much McCarthy couldn't say. Of course, what head coach Mike McCarthy could say yesterday is that Chad Clifton is still the starter for the Green Bay Packers. Now, I don't know if he's healthy enough to be the starter on this upcoming Monday. Nobody knows yet. Apparently, his knee is giving him some issues. And it's just a wait-and-see game right now with Chad Clifton. Brian Bulaga's ready. Brian Bulaga played well in his first regular season extended playing time last week against the Bills. Did fantastic. He had the one penalty. That's about the only drawback from this past Sunday. He did great in pass protection. I didn't see one, you know, point in the game where he struggled at all, had very little help, didn't need any tight ends or backs to help him out, chip in at all. And also, looked fine in the run game as well. You know, the Packers didn't exactly do a whole lot of running. But, you know, once they did there in the second half, run to the left side, did okay. Did all right, you know. I think a lot of the problems earlier in the game had to do with Chad Clifton not being able to, lock on to his man. His man was getting away from him and making the tackles. But I think Bulaga just did an admirable job filling in for Chad Clifton. Paul Gertz on the live blog writes, "Any chance number 12's play was off purely because of Clifton being hurt? I think that he was worrying about pressure from that side." Intriguing thought. I can't imagine that Aaron Rodgers was off because he was thinking about that. You know, for the most part, there were a couple times Aaron Rodgers was flushed while Chad Clifton was in the game. Maybe it happened twice. But there were other points, too, where Clifton did do fine. I don't know what's up with Aaron Rodgers. He is... seems to be very just amped up, you know, just really rifling the ball and not hitting his targets early in the game especially. And this goes back to the beginning of Aaron Rodgers' career as a starter for the Green Bay Packers. They just start slowly. They just can't ever get that first drive going. First drive of the second half has been a bugaboo as well. I don't think it's due to Chad Clifton because, I mean, Chad Clifton has been there for many games, you know, over the past two seasons prior where Aaron Rodgers has been the starting quarterback. So, no, I don't think we can put that on Chad Clifton. I don't think we can. That's my opinion. Maybe some people would disagree with me. Leviticus 2:268, you know, thinks he might have a point. But that's my opinion. I don't think we can pin that on Chad Clifton. You know, I think Chad Clifton does have, you know, certainly many things, you know, not working in his favor. The run game is atrocious to the left side of the field. I said this in my film review. When Clifton and College were both in the game, first quarter, early in the second quarter, the Packers cannot run the ball to the left side of the field. They just can't lock onto their man. It's like they get the initial contact with them, but then can't, you know, lock on, can't hang on to him, can't get any push. They just seem to get around him so quickly. So, yeah, I think that's the part that really hurts, and that's the part that can be improved perhaps exponentially. Exponentially might be a strong word, but the part that can be improved heavily is the Green Bay Packers' run game. Is going to need to be very soon. Wasn't very good on Sunday. Nothing going on there. We'll talk about the run game in the second half of the show a little bit. John Rahor of Green Bay Packer Nation says on the live blog, "Expectations are so high for Rodgers that even when he has a good, not great game, anything less than 4 TDs, 300 plus yards, people panic." Yes, the expectations are becoming very lofty for Aaron Rodgers. Granted, you know, winning will do almost anything to get people to quiet down. Aaron Rodgers has not played well for about 6 out of 8 quarters of regular season football so far this 2010 season. Really, not very good. Below the league average for 6 out of 8 quarters. Second half of Sunday's game, he looked fantastic. Looked like the NFL MVP. But he has been below average before that. But the Packers are winning. Nobody cares. The Packers go 16-0 and Aaron Rodgers is below average, I don't think they'll care, as long as they can win that Super Bowl. Getting some other thoughts on the whole Brian Bulaga, Chad Clifton issue. If we go back to today's Packers Daily Links at CheeseheadTV.com. Our second article today is from Tom Silverstein at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you click this link right here, it'll bring you to Silverstein's article. Looks like this. Big picture of newly acquired Julius Peppers for the Green Bay Packers. I'm sorry, the Chicago Bears. But if I just, once again, read an excerpt here that I thought was interesting from Mr. Silverstein's article. He says, and I quote, "It's one thing to function against the Bills defense. It's another to face the freakishly athletic Peppers, who was signed to a six-year, $91.5 million deal in the offseason. Though he has only one tackle this season, it was a sack that forced a fumble, and more importantly, knocked Detroit quarterback Matthew Stafford out of action indefinitely in week one. So, whoever is going to play for the Green Bay Packers at left tackle this upcoming week on national television, on the road, at a division opponent, the tied for the NFC North lead Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, they're going to have to get used to life with Julius Peppers. Not so easy for a rookie, perhaps. You know, Brian Bulaga had a great game. A lot of people temper that, though, saying that it's just the Bills who are not good. And that's putting it lightly. Did you see Trent Edwards is no longer the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills? Can't say I didn't see that coming. Maybe the trade should be Matt Flynn for Marshawn Lynch. No, I am not really and seriously proposing that. I'm just saying the Bills need a quarterback, and badly. But, anyhow, T. Wernke says on the live blog, Peppers has only one tackle this season. He's a classic underachiever. Why are people scared? I guess people are scared because of the history of Julius Peppers, what he's been able to do in the past. And yes, he hasn't done fantastic this season. Hasn't done outstanding. But again, just like Aaron Rodgers hasn't done anything scary this season, but the Green Bay Packers are 2-0. Julius Peppers hasn't done anything amazingly outstanding outside of one play, but yet the Chicago Bears are 2-0. Now, I think the Bears will come back down to earth when they start facing some better teams. Of course, a lot of people are going to argue that perhaps the Dallas Cowboys were a good team. The jury's out on the Dallas Cowboys right now. But we will see. Just a little reminder, anybody who's joining us here right now on Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV, nobody is approving comments. Our entire chat is moderated by Twitter today. Please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to the live blog automatically. No commentary, no moderation needed. So please feel free to use the Twitter widget we have under the screen as well. And coming up in about 15 minutes, once again, I'm excited to say we have former University of Kentucky kicker J.J. Housley joining us on the show. Former teammate and roommate of punter Tim Mastay, as we get some information from someone in the know about Tim Mastay. But let's continue on here with the Brian Bulaga, Chad Clifton conversation and how they're going to take on Julius Peppers. Jonathan Beaton says, if Clifton isn't healthy in week 2, why would there be any reason he would be healthy in week 14? You know, I suppose in most circumstances, players can get healthy in that time period easily. But when you look at Chad Clifton's history and the fact that he has been dealing with nagging issues for most of his career, and especially ever since he had that hip problem when he was hit by Warren Sapp a couple years ago. Forget what year that happened off the top of my head. Was that in 2003? It's quite a while ago now. But anyhow, he has had lingering issues ever since then. Now the knee is the issue. And a lot of people are saying, you know, of course, it's time to make the move to Brian Bulaga. And in the Packers blogosphere, there's a couple interesting opinions about the way the Packers should proceed with the situation. Looking at today's Packers Daily Links, our third article down is from Old Bag of Donuts. If you click the link right here, it'll take you to oldbagofdonuts.com, where they weigh in on the Chad Clifton, Brian Bulaga issue. And Chris Lampesis has an opinion that says this, quote, if Bulaga plays, it should only be because Clifton's knee is still too bothersome to go on. While I'm supporting Clifton, I'm not supporting him at anything less than 100%. And by 100%, I mean he has to be able to practice all 3 days. Anything less is simply not good enough. But when he's healthy, he deserves one more chance. That's not because of his status or lofty 2010 salary either. So that's one opinion, pretty much giving Chad Clifton the benefit of the doubt, saying he deserves it as long as he's healthy. And as I mentioned in the Daily Links, it might be a little too much to ask of Chad Clifton to practice 3 days a week. He hasn't seemed to do that forever. It's always seems like he sits out the first couple days, little bit of R&R, rest and recovery, and then practices on like Friday or something like that in preparation for the game. Now, certainly he is attending all the meetings. He might be taking part in the walkthroughs earlier in the week. So not to say he's going in cold turkey on all of a sudden, you know, Friday when there's a Sunday game. But, you know, Chad Clifton is a veteran. He's very cagey, very savvy, been around for a long time, very knowledgeable. He knows what he's doing. So that might be a little too much, in my opinion, to ask to Clifton to practice all 3 days of the week. Also, in the Daily Links, in the blogosphere, Brandon Benson of Acme Packing Company, his opinion on Chad Clifton, Brian Bulaga, left tackle, says, I'm a believer in Bulaga's future as a starting left tackle. If that future begins in 2010, so be it. If he should start the next couple games until Clifton's knee feels better, then they can go that route too. And just one more opinion from the blogosphere. Right here at Cheesehead TV, Aaron Nagler wrote a good column yesterday on the situation. And I thought this was quite the parallel. I didn't include it in today's Daily Links. I usually don't include our own Cheesehead TV stuff. But if you look in our archives, you can easily find it. Mr. Nagler writes, "The plan should call for Bulaga to be named the starter and for Clifton to transition to the role that Bruce Wilkerson played in 1996, that of veteran safety net. Yes, an expensive safety net, but a reassurance nonetheless." So, I do think there are some very interesting parallels between Bruce Wilkerson and Chad Clifton, or possible parallels. You know, back in 1996, Wilkerson was signed with the intention of not being a starter only once Ken Rutgers went down for the count the end of the year. You know, mid-season, he called it quits. Then Wilkerson stepped in. And I believe that was only after, you know, first-round draft pick John Michaels failed pretty much as the starter. And Wilkerson came in for a Super Bowl win. And maybe the lesson to be learned from all this for Chad Clifton is if he is not 100%, you know, you've already bought in for this season. You know, you signed a contract prior to the season. You know, you might not be healthy, but do you want to be Ken Rutgers and retire now? And all of a sudden the Packers win the Super Bowl and you weren't there for it? Now, whether you just don't play until you're healthy and Brian Bulaga just steps in for a handful of games, or you give way and you are the safety net, as Mr. Nagler said, you know, I think that still is a valuable role on the team, and should anything happen to Brian Bulaga, that's, you know, they still could need Chad Clifton. I think I wrote this in the Maple Street Press Packers Annual. I think Chad Clifton and Mark Tauscher realize, if they haven't already, that this may be it for them. You gotta put all chips on the table. This might be your last and only chance at a Super Bowl this season. And you gotta give it your all. Gotta give it your all. You know, I guess I am with Chris Lempesis of Old Bag of Donuts, thinking that let's wait until Chad Clifton's healthy. Let's give him a week or two or however long he needs to get that knee feeling a little bit better. And you go with him as the starter. And if things are still not going well then you make the switch to Brian Bulaga for good. I think that's the way you have to go. Let Clifton get healthy where injury can really no longer be an excuse. And if his play suffers, then you make the switch, and then you just go with it. You ride it out. Hopefully Chad Clifton will stick around, be that emergency left tackle that they need I would, if the Packers made the switch to Brian Bulaga and Chad Clifton was the backup on a Super Bowl winning team, I would pat him on the back and congratulate him for sticking it out and being a valuable member of the team and saying he deserves every bit of a Super Bowl ring that anybody else on the team would have earned. You know, it's not just, you know, this season that deserves it. It's the build-up that he was a part of for years, a good decade in Green Bay, but more recently, the team that, you know, Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson have built. But these are just all things going on in my head. I don't know how it's going to play out. None of us know how it's going to play out. And lots of opinions here on the live blog. I'll try to get to some of them here. Jersey Al writes, I've said for several weeks now, Bulaga should be starting somewhere, anywhere. He's better than Clifton, Tauscher, in college. Paul Gertz writes, if Bulaga starts, Clifton won't start the rest of the season. Bulaga will run with his chance and never give it up. He's that good. John Rahor writes, a healthy Clifton on the bench in case Bulaga fails is better than an injured Clifton out there trying to fight through. So, that's what Cheesehead Nation thinks about the issue. lot of cases for Brian Bulaga. And I think my opinion is the short term, you go with Bulaga until Clifton's healthy. You know, certainly, you know, Bulaga could find his way into the starting lineup again, whether it's left tackle, maybe left guard for Darren College, maybe right tackle for Mark Tauscher. I will say, after a poor game against the Philadelphia Eagles in the season opener for Mark Tauscher, he looked much better this past Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, kind of what you've come to expect out of him. Yeah, I didn't see anything wrong with Mark Tauscher's play on Sunday. And in my film review, I did see a couple things wrong with Darren College's play, particularly in the run game. Went through it already, can't lock on to guys, seems to, as I said, fight for position. You know, when there's a play to running to the inside of College, he really wants to get his butt over and in front of the person he's trying to block instead of fighting to push the guy backwards. You know, he's fighting for position, and then just the defender gets around him somehow, puts a move on him, a swim move, something, a rip. But yes, just somehow Darren College struggles in the run game, and it's frustrating. And hopefully Brian Bulaga next to him will help that. It did this past Sunday. It appeared to. I think Darren College also had a false start penalty, didn't he? I mean, that can happen to anyone. It's going to happen to everyone some point throughout the season. But it's 10 o'clock, we're going to take a brief break here. I'm going to get on the line with J.J. Housley, former University of Kentucky kicker and former teammate of Tim Mastay, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. We're going to talk to him, and then we'll open up the phone lines later in the show. You guys can have your say. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. Joining us right now is former University of Kentucky kicker J.J. Housley, also the former teammate and roommate of Packers punter Tim Mastay. J.J. writes for a website called BigBlue247.com and also for WYMT News in Hazard, Kentucky. JJ, thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Well, you were Tim Maste's roommate and teammate at the University of Kentucky. Tell us something we don't know about Tim that only you would know.
Oh, well, Tim was actually my roommate. We lived together for 2 years. We've got a ping pong table in our garage, and he and I, we'd go out and play ping pong for at least 3 hours a night. He's very competitive in everything. He's one heck of a ping pong player, that's for sure.
Nothing. You're not going to give us anything incriminating, any wild escapades?
That guy is not the wild kind of guy, but he was a great roommate, a lot of fun to be around. He did cook a lot of salmon here, which really, I think he cooks salmon once a day at least. So he's a fish lover, if that's what you're looking for.
Well, very healthy eater, salmon.
Very healthy.
Now, can you do a little bit of, you know him very well, better than any of us? We've only gotten to know Tim over the past couple months watching him. Can you analyze some of his strengths and perhaps weaknesses as a punter?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I've got the opportunity to watch him kick for 4 years at Kentucky, and I've picked him up a couple games here this year. I mean, the guy's got an incredible leg, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, I've been around a lot of SEC punters and kickers, and he's probably got the biggest leg that I've ever seen in person. I know that he's got a great work ethic, and he's dedicated to what he does. So, I mean, if he's not firing at all cylinders, then he's going to fix it real quick. He's very athletic. The guy came in as an all-state wide receiver out of high school. So I think the Packers can look forward to fakes and put in the game plan every once in a while. His weaknesses, I mean, he doesn't have very many weaknesses. I remember when he was, his freshman and sophomore years at Kentucky, he got really with consistency. But I know his senior year, he really got fixed, and it looks like right now he's got that taken care of. I mean, his directional punting was always another spot of emphasis for him early on in his career. But I noticed him against Deshaun Jackson in Philadelphia when you guys played him. He made it a point to kick it away from Deshaun, and I thought he did wonderful in that game. So I think he's getting that taken care of. And, the guy's got the biggest leg I've ever seen. So you guys got a lot to look forward to here.
Yeah, I agree. In the Philadelphia game, he kicked it to the left side of the field quite a bit to Deshaun Jackson, to also in the direction of one of the fastest players on the Packers team, our gunner, Jarrett Bush, who was a track athlete in college. So they really had a game plan for Deshaun Jackson. How about the Bills game? Did you see this past week's game, and what have you seen out of Tim Maste so far in his short NFL career?
See, I didn't get to watch. We didn't pick up the Bills game. I saw where I think he averaged a little over a yard to kick. I wasn't able to pick up the punt. I know, the game before he had a little bit better average. I think that was due in part to that directional punting. Getting back to that Deshaun Jackson game, when you said he was kicking it left towards that gunner, a right foot, that's to go across your body and to kick it left like that. That's about the hardest thing you can do for a punter. And so that's why I was so amazed at that game, because I noticed he was kicking it left towards your fastest gunner. And, that's very difficult to do. I wasn't able to pick up the build game. I know the punter, I don't know much about their return game, but I did notice that he had a decent game from what I read about it.
Yes. About, one of the things they've been critical of, Tim, the media perhaps, is his get-off time. It's been a little slow. Have you noticed that at Kentucky? Does he have to speed that up here at the next level in the NFL?
Oh yeah, I mean, another point of emphasis when he first came into college. I mean, I kicked in high school just as well as he did, and everything was a little bit slower in high school, and so you don't have to worry about timing and all that. When you got to the college level,
I'm going to pause you for a second here. You're getting a little garbled in our, as I call you through our Skype line, and hopefully just time will fix that out. As a holder, a place kick holder, has Tim held for you? And, you know, how is he as a place kick holder? JJ, I'm going to cut you off here. We seem to have gotten some technical difficulties. You just sound very, very garbled at the moment. If you can hear me, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. And I'm going to give everybody your information one more time here. But it just we've got some technical problems. But thank you for joining us. Thanks, JJ. JJ Housley of the University of Kentucky, former place kicker and teammate of Tim Mastay of the Green Bay Packers. JJ currently writes for a blog about the University of Kentucky football team. It's BigBlue247.com, and also for WYMT News in Hazard, Kentucky. So, JJ, sorry about the technical issues where it gets to sound a little bit garbled, and I apologize for that. But I thank you for coming on the show and sharing your thoughts. Interesting that Tim Mastay was a all-state wide receiver out of high school. So there is quite some athleticism there, which is good. But Tim Mastay, I thought, did a admirable job against the Bills. Not great. It would have been nice had that one punt been downed inside the 20 there. I think it was the last punt the Packers had in the game. Pat Lee had a chance to down it, and it just kind of trickled into the end zone. You know, it hit it about inside the 5 and bounced once or twice before going in. And it just seemed like the two gunners there, I believe Bush and Lee, they were kind of almost, you know, almost together, as opposed to, you know, one being on the left side of the field and one being on the right side. It would have been a little bit better had there been some more space between them toward the left side of the field, as, you know, facing the way the Packers were punting. So, you know, either one of them could have had a chance at it, no matter what way the ball bounced. But once again, thank you, JJ Housley, for joining us today. And what we're going to do is, you know, I think how, you know, some of the time we these phone calls get a little garbled. It's just the longer you're on the line, I think the more, you know, you kind of hear that computer-ish garble. And I think if we keep our phone calls, you know, less than a minute or so, or thereabouts, I think we'll be okay, and we'll open up the phone lines here. If you want to call in to Railbird Central, the phone number is 646-797-2909, and we can talk about Tim Mastay, the punting game, or the left tackle situation for the Green Bay Packers, as we talked about in the first half hour of the program. Brian Bulaga, Chad Clifton, what do you do? Do you make the change now to Brian Bulaga? Do you make it later? Do you wait? Do you just say Brian Bulaga is the starter now? We just can't live with subpar performances at the NFL level. So you just, it's up to you guys. You tell me what your thinking is, what type of move you make. If you are the coaching staff, if you are head coach Mike McCarthy or offensive line coach James Campen, and Feel free to call in or leave your comments on the live blog. One more time, any tweets with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV will get through. While we're waiting for any calls to come through, we'll head back to today's Packers Daily Links and talk a little bit about the run game. We are now living in a post-Ryan Grant world in Green Bay. And an article here halfway down the Daily Links comes from Rob Domofsky and Kareem Copeland of the Green Bay Press Gazette. And they say, and I quote here, they bring us to this article right here at the PackersNews.com. Quote, in the first game since Grant was lost for the season to an ankle injury, the Packers had only one explosive gain by a running back, a 12-yard run by backup quarter of Sunday's 34-7 win over Buffalo. Even that run was flawed because Kuhn fumbled but recovered. So the Packers missing explosive runs. Yes, they didn't have many against the Bills. I'm not so sure that is the fault of Brandon Jackson and John Kuhn and Dimitri Nance. I'm more liable to say that that's more due to the blocking up front from the offensive line. And here's where I'm getting that from. If you haven't bought your copy of the Maple Street Press Packers Annual, I encourage you to do so. I know I've encouraged everybody tons of times to do that. But if you read the article, Football Outsiders provided an article for our Maple Street Press magazine this year. Vince Verhaeghe writes about how Ryan Grant does a great job getting to that second level. The offensive line does a pretty good job of opening the initial holes for the running game for the Green Bay Packers, at least last year. But once Ryan Grant got to the second level, got to the level of the linebackers, he could not take it a step further. He could not turn a 3-yard run into a 10-yard run. Or he at least didn't with regularity. So I found that very, very interesting in that the offensive line is praised in this article by Vince Verhaeghe of Football Outsiders and Maple Street Press for opening holes in the running game. It's just that Ryan Grant really struggled getting it to the second and the third level. Not enough shiftiness, not enough wiggle to get there, put a move, make a cut. You know, he was very much a downhill runner who would lower his shoulder. And he wasn't known for the big gain. Could he do it once in a while? Yes, he could. But not a lot of explosive runs, as Domofsky and Copeland point out in their article. Explosive run defined as a run of 12 or more yards. The Packers haven't been known for that kind of production, you know. Pretty much in the Mike McCarthy era, have never, even though the running game has been okay at times, nothing spectacular over the years. Haven't had a Pro Bowl type of running back who can average nearly 5 yards a carry. I realize that is a lot, and that's rare to get that much, but, you know, 4.5 and more. So, not happening from Ryan Grant, in the past, so I don't know if it's fair to say that Brandon Jackson and John Kuhn can't do that. I John Kuhn just bulldozed his way to the only explosive gain this past Sunday against the Bills when he got a 12-yarder. I don't know how many of those you're going to see out of John Kuhn, because he's even less explosive than Ryan Grant, I would think. But I would say that Brandon Jackson, once he gets his feet under him, and hopefully he got his feet wet this past Sunday, and he thinks a lot less, he just makes a cut and goes and has a little bit better vision, that he can do that. I do think he's a little bit faster than Ryan Grant, straight ahead, straight line speed. Maybe he's not. I don't know. I need to see more out of him. But I am hopeful that Brandon Jackson can get the job done. Paul Gertz on the live blog says, we need to see more of Nance. His two runs look decent. Dimitri Nance's second run looked decent. I wrote this on the film review at Cheesehead TV yesterday. If you check out Dimitri Nance's first run, there was a lot of happy feet. A lot of, he was looking for a hole and just kind of dancing and didn't hit it real hard. And I think he gained 2 or 3 yards because the offensive line did okay in front of him. But he's got to just, hit the hole and go. And he did that his second run, where he did, got a handoff and, got 4 yards or thereabouts. And I'd be interested to see what Dimitri Nance can do. I think, as I wrote, I would be nervous too and have happy feet. My first carry at Lambeau Field. Dimitri Nance is just acquired. He didn't have a chance to get his jitters out of the way during the family night scrimmage, which I think is a good thing for rookies for the Green Bay Packers, to even before an exhibition game, they see a huge crowd for what essentially is a practice, and maybe that awe is taken away a little bit by the time there's an actual game being played there in the exhibition season. And then once the regular season hits, they have 4 regular season games under their belt. I'm sorry, 4 exhibition games, 2 at Lambeau Field, and a family night scrimmage with over 45,000 fans in the stands, including your everyday practices during training camp when there's thousands of people watching. I digress. But it'd be interesting to see what Dimitri Nance can do. I don't think he's ever going to see a whole lot more than what we saw out of him this past week. I think the Packers will try, as long as he's active, try to design a couple plays for him every game, get him in there a little bit. But I think he's going to have to do an awful good job to get more carries than a John Kuhn or a Brandon Jackson. So that's where I stand on that issue. Anybody wants to call in here? The phone number is 646-797-2909. Give your thoughts on Brandon Jackson, Dimitri Nance, or the running game, or lack thereof, or whether the offensive line is opening holes for the running game. Or share them on the live blog. Once again, tweet with the hashtags Railbird or Cheesehead TV. And getting into some of the final points on today's Packers Daily Links at Cheesehead TV. Speaking of Ryan Grant, he's scheduled to have surgery today. Bill Huber of Packer Report writes, Grant told Milwaukee radio station WSSP that he'll have surgery on his ankle on Tuesday. He'll need two screws to reattach the tendon to the two bones that hold the ankle together. So that's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And also a little bit of an injury report. The fallout from the Bills game. Mike Spofford at Packers.com writes, Mike McCarthy indicated linebacker Brad Jones with a knee and safety Nick Collins with a hip flexor should be both be fine for the Chicago game, but both could miss some practice time or be limited during the week. And this is kind of related to the Chad Clifton issue as well. Chad Clifton has an extra day of rest, seeing as the game is being played on Monday Night Football. So do Brad Jones and Nick Collins, and hopefully they make good use of that extra day, that extra time they have to rehab and get ready for the Chicago Bears in a key NFC North showdown this upcoming Monday night on national TV. If either something happened to Brad Jones or Nick Collins, it's, you know, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're fine. They just have little minor nagging injuries. But should they get hurt, things are not exactly looking great, you know, beyond them. You're talking about possibly Brady Papinga starting for the Green Bay Packers, or Charlie Peppra at safety. Not guys you want to see. Although, maybe guys who can do okay in a spot role. I don't know. I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt. Brady Papinga has done very well against the run so far this year. He's not played a ton, but he's getting a dozen snaps in each of the first two games, I'd say. Maybe more. Certainly more in the second half than the first half, as guys are getting tired out and getting a little bit of rest. But Brady Papinga has done some very nice things at outside linebacker playing the run. Seriously, really good. Nothing special with his pass rush. I don't think anybody ever expected that out of him. But you can make the case that Brady Papinga deserves to be out there on running downs. Certainly. Charlie Peppra, again, the jury's out on him until we actually see him in a regular season NFL game and see what he can do. Last time we saw him was a Dallas Cowboys game 2 years ago, when he got burned a couple times, but that was 2 years ago. This is now 2010. But Charlie Peppra has been playing a role on special teams so far this year. Special teams has done great. You'd be willing to think that Charlie Peppra's contributed to that. I should check Football Outsiders. After week one, the Green Bay Packers were ranked third in the NFL in special teams. The third best overall special teams rankings by Football Outsiders after week one. So happy to see that. Good special teams in Green Bay. Now, after 2 weeks, they did okay. Nothing outstandingly bad against the Bills. Want to see if they can maintain that hold on, you know, three or better. They might have dropped off a little bit, seeing as we have a pretty small sample size through only two games so far this season. Just as we're starting to wrap up here, Jersey Al on the live blog says, watching Nance with Atlanta, he made more of an impression as a receiver out of the backfield. Can't block. Running shows potential. Maybe. He's a third down back eventually with the Green Bay Packers. Brandon Jackson has done so good on third downs, though, especially with his blocking, that it's almost tough to see him not in that role. Be a disappointment not to see him in that role. And Brandon Jackson has done very well with screen passes, I think. And I'd like to see more of that. He didn't play a lot on third downs against the Bills. And I hope that isn't, you know, the way of the future where he's not playing on third downs and that's John Kuntz or Dimitri Nance's role instead. I don't know. Everybody, come back to Cheesehead TV tonight at 8 p.m. Lambeau time for Packer Transplants with your hosts Corey Behnke and Aaron Nagler. Joining us on the show tonight will be safety and special teams expert Derek Martin. So that's exciting that he'll be joining us tonight on the line for an interview. Derek Martin. So should be exciting. That's going to about wrap things up for today's episode of Railbird Central. Normally, we'll be on at 8 a.m. in the morning, most mornings. Had some issues. Had to take my dog to the vet this morning. We've been having dog issues ever since Saturday this past weekend. And that was unfortunate. And I've made two trips to the vet and pushed back the show this morning. Hopefully, my dog Mia is okay, and we're not going to have too many more missed time slots at 8 a.m., but thanks for your patience with me, and thanks for joining me at this later hour. Anyway, I think Green and Gold Today is on with Jason Wilde. Go check that out at ESPNMilwaukee.com if you're not in the Milwaukee market. And everybody, thanks again for joining us this morning. I'll see you later.